Frank Allen Investigation, starring Frank Allen. Hello and welcome to a special Frank Allen Investigation, where we go in-depth trying to uncover once and for all the murder of Alan Thomas in Binghamton, New York, in February 2007. It's fairly well known to listeners of the show that the murder was committed by Lynn Nelson, obviously. But some people feel we need evidence, so we're doing our best to gather some on this show. We've got a lot of evidence to get through, so let's get right to it. My first interview was with the French teacher who had both Lynn Nelson and Alan Thomas in her class at the exact same time. Madame Bourret. Madame, you were the teacher of both Lynn Nelson and Alan Thomas, correct?
First of all, I would like to say thank you for inviting me onto your little radio program. I would like to let you know that there is a French phrase of the day, and I would like to share that with you, please, if I may.
Sure, yeah.
Thank you so much. C'est ta copine carotée. Répétez. C'est ta copine.
C'est ta copine.
Carotée.
Carotée.
Now the whole thing. C'est ta copine carotée.
C'est ta copine carotée. Is that relevant to the murder?
No, not at all. It means, did your girlfriend just fetch? It is important to learn these things.
Right. So the murder.
Murder.
Of Alan Thomas.
Alan Thomas, yes.
He was a student of yours.
Oui. Oh, that means yes. Alan. That was his French name, Alan.
Do people have different names in France?
Yes, yes. His name was Alan Thomas.
All right. So Alan Thomas was murdered by Lynn Nelson.
Peut-être.
Is that her French name?
No, that means perhaps.
Well, okay. Can you shed any light on their relationship? Did they know each other in class? Things like that?
The two of them were top of the class. They both sat in the very front row next to each other. So these stories that she says she doesn't know who he is, they are untrue because they are always in competition. They both raise their hands and they both have the answer immediately.
Now, okay, so she's obviously proven as a liar now. And my understanding is they both had an assignment to translate the exact same thing. Well, they both picked the same thing to translate, I should say.
No, you are incorrect. It was not a translation assignment because then if they had identical work, it would be understandable.
Okay, then what was the assignment? I guess I was confused.
Everybody had to write an essay about their hopes and dreams.
And they both hoped and dreamed the exact same thing?
The exact same.
Well, so that's pretty obviously someone copied, right? Can you tell us what those hopes and dreams were?
To perform as a prima ballerina in the New York City Ballet.
It's a bit late in their lives for either of them, right?
Sir, it is not for me to poop on the dreams of these people.
But Alan was thrown out of the class for plagiarism. So how was it proven that he copied?
Yes, I do not believe that he copied her or she copied him. However, it was one of my TAs that brought this to my attention, and I said no. It is unlikely that it was cheating, and she brought it to the dean's attention.
And so it was determined by the dean that Alan Thomas copied his writing assignment from Lynn Nelson. But let me ask you this. Is it possible that he, being a good student, you said you didn't think he copied, that he really did want to be a prima ballerina, and that she copied him to make it look like he copied her?
C'est possible.
What does that mean?
It means it is within the realm of possibility. However, he had very long and beautiful legs and a very strong upper body, and she is short, and so I think that he, actually, had a better chance of becoming a prima ballerina, or, as they call the male equivalent, the prime ballerina. And now we will bring our second phrase of the day. Qui c'est qui a pété? Répétez. Qui c'est qui a pété?
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 That means who farted, and I would like to know the answer because it smells in here something terrible.
From there, feeling confident that my hunch about Lynn framing Alan Thomas for plagiarism was paying off, I decided to go on to the criminal investigation. I interviewed with Binghamton Police Crime Scene Investigator, Lieutenant Dick Miami. Lieutenant Miami, I understand you were the first on the scene from the CSI unit on Alan Thomas's murder.
I was. I was the first to arrive, and I immediately cordoned off the entire area using the tape I carry on my person for such an event, and it was a horrific scene, let me tell you.
Yeah, please do tell me. What state was Alan Thomas in when you arrived?
Well, he had tumbled down quite a long set of stairs. I mean, if I had tried to climb from the bottom all the way to the top, I would be out of breathless and sweating like a $2 whore. So you can imagine the effect that something like that would have on the body of a soft human being. I can imagine there were some bone breakage, and there were bones protruding from the body, and there was a splatter of blood that was quite breathtaking. It was like that artist who does the splats of paint. What's that guy? You know, the guy who does the splats of paint?
Jackson Pollock.
It was like a Jackson Pollock, except only with blood. Totally Dexter. It was beautiful. I took my camera. I took so many pictures. I've got one on my phone here if you'd like to see. There, see that? That's brains right there. That's brains.
Okay, yeah. No, that's gross.
Yeah, that I can zoom in, and you can see what he's thinking. He's thinking, oh my goodness, I got pushed down the stairs. And that's when we knew that this was going to be a murder investigation and not a suicide.
No, that's interesting. So you can actually see someone's thoughts in their brain.
Well, and not a rookie, but I have worked on the Binghamton Police Department and Criminal Investigation Unit for almost an entire year, so I can tell that this was not a suicide. This was murder with a capital M.
So, okay, so now what you said, he was thinking I was pushed down the stairs. Was he thinking I was pushed down the stairs by a woman?
Oh, yes, because the body was becoming rigid, and as you know, a rigid male body is the direct result of the presence of a female, unless he was one of those types. But that's besides the point. It was a woman that pushed him.
Oh, yeah, I know. I imagine it was a woman because, I mean, just because you want to be a ballerina doesn't mean...
What is this about a ballerina? What?
No, it's that he wanted to... my understanding, he maybe wanted to be, but it doesn't... I'm saying it. He could have... You could be a heterosexual ballerina.
No, that's impossible. I read in a textbook once that 99.999% of male dancers of any kind, Broadway or any kind, are homosexuals. If he was a dancer, then he may not have been pushed by a woman.
But he probably was, because like you just said, that means that as long as there are 10,000 dancers in the world, then he could be one who is not homosexual.
I suppose that's a possibility. He was quite rigid, but that could have been from a male.
No, I'm sure it was from a woman. There's probably other evidence that there was a woman, right? I mean, I would imagine, in the crime scene.
There was the distinct odor of femininity on his person, and I assumed it was because he had been making out with a girl, and she was wearing perfume, and it rubbed off on him. However, if this new information about him being a ballerina is true, he could very well have been wearing that stuff on his own because he might be a poofta.
No, there's this ballerina thing is hearsay. Totally ignore it. There must have been a woman. Like you just said, if there was perfume, then there was a woman.
Or he was a poofta.
But if you didn't know about the ballerina thing, and I said it, but I what do I know? I don't know anything. Pretend I wasn't even here.
Oh, I'm a big fan of yours, and I take your word as law. So if he's a poofta, then he was not pushed by a woman, and it may well have been suicide.
Suicide? Wait, what? How was it? Why would it be suicide?
We were working under the assumption that a woman had pushed him down the stairs because of the overwhelming rigidity on his person and the smell of femininity. However, if those are the result of his poftality, it's a technical term, by the way, then it's perfectly possible that he simply killed himself. Now, that's quite understandable, because you know those people go through a lot. I understand they're not even allowed to get married in New York State.
Well, that's very understanding of you and sensitive. But I don't think he was gay, so you don't have to worry about that. He was probably killed by a woman. I have a woman in mind, so pretty likely.
You know, let me show you this picture again of his brains. And if we pan down, you see he's wearing the Madonna World Tour shirt. Now, I don't know why I didn't think of this before, but Madonna World Tour, only gay men like Madonna.
No, Madonna's a very attractive woman. I like Madonna because I want to have sex with Madonna.
No one wants to have sex with her anymore. She's old. Her boobs will take your eyes out. Come on, man. He's obviously as gay as a wooden nickel.
Wooden nickels? No. Even if he could be bisexual, look, doesn't matter. All that matters is I think there's overwhelming support for this woman.
I don't believe in bisexuality. I think that's something made up by the liberal media.
Well, I did not see any evidence that he was truly homosexual. So I take that as meaning there was clearly a woman that pushed him down the stairs, a woman presumably named Lynn Nelson. When I previously talked to Lynn Nelson, I uncovered that they actually lived in dorm rooms in the same building, one above the other. I was able to track down the records of both of their roommates and talk to them about the situation. I spoke with Alan's roommate, Robert Scott, first. Now, you were Alan's roommate in Digman Hall, correct?
I was. I was his roommate first year, second year, third year, and fourth year.
You guys were stuck together the whole time?
I wouldn't call it stuck together. We were a match made in heaven.
Now, what do you mean by that?
Oh, well, we were on the VPA floor. That means visual and performing arts, and it's a mixture of people who aren't really understood by the outside world. Well, he and I just got on each other like brown on shit.
So you were friends, is what you mean?
We were very, very close.
I'm trying to uncover who killed him. So I'm sorry that your friend died, first of all. But
what do you mean he's dead? What are you talking about? He's dead?
Wait,
when did this happen?
Alan Thomas.
Alan Thomas is dead?
He died in 2007.
I'm blind. I just saw him a month ago.
No, that's not possible.
Alan Thomas, blonde, 6'4", big manly hands, blue eyes, tight ass. Him?
Well, I didn't check his ass.
You should have. It's remarkable. He's dead?
He died in February 2007. That was a few years ago.
Oh.
No, so you and he lived together then for some amount of time.
We did. I lived in Digman Hall for 7 years. I was on the long-term plan, and he was my roommate for 4 of those years.
3.5.
3.5. Luckiest 3.5 years of my life. Oh, he was so beautiful.
Now, you guys lived, was it above or below? I don't remember. Lynn Nelson, correct? Did you know Lynn Nelson?
Was she the one sort of squat and round like a cantaloupe?
No, she wasn't anything like that.
Describe her to me then.
She was short, but she had, you know, she had red hair. She was a French major, just like Alan was. They were in the class. She got him kicked out for plagiarism.
Oh, she's the bitch that copied his ballerina paper. Yeah.
So he was wanting to be a ballerina.
It was the dream he held closest to his heart.
That's good to know. So you know who she is then, the one who got him kicked out?
Yes, yes, I do. I remember her perfectly. I remember her as if she were standing right here in front of me.
How would you describe their relationship to one another?
They were at each other's throats. It was despicable. Because she was never quite as good as he was at anything, really.
So if I were to say to you, hypothetically, that she murdered him, what would you say to that?
Oh, I'd throw up right in your lap right now. The idea is just too much to believe. I couldn't believe it. No, no. She seemed so sweet, even though they didn't get along. I just can't imagine.
Are you sure?
I don't believe it. No, no. No. Oh, I'm gonna need a bucket. I'm gonna need a bucket. I'm gonna throw up.
No, don't throw up. Don't throw up. But maybe what if she was really mad? Really mad.
I'm not someone who ever took school all that seriously, so it's hard for me to understand somebody getting so mad about a paper that they'd kill someone. And besides, he was the one that got kicked out of school. If anyone was going to kill somebody, he should have killed her.
It seemed clear to me that Mr. Scott's was covering for Lynn, possibly because he was secretly in love with her. So I decided to talk to her roommate as well, a Miss June Walken. I understand you were Lynn Nelson's roommate at the time of Alan Thomas's death.
Yes, totally, I was.
So what can you tell me about his death? How did she react to it?
Oh, she wasn't too sad at all. She was kind of happy.
She was happy he died.
Well, you know, they didn't get along so well. Something about French.
It's a language. So you think that she killed him?
Well, I would never say that. No. I mean, come on. I had to be the one to kill the spider. That one time there was a spider above her bed. She screamed like crazy. And I had to get up there and kill the spider.
No, but he's not a spider.
No, that's what I'm saying. You can't kill a spider. You certainly can't kill a man.
Well, spiders are grosser than men.
Honey, you haven't seen the sort of men I've seen.
Okay. No, that's true. I guess there are men who are gross. But what I'm saying is, she might have been afraid of a spider in a way that she wasn't of a person. If she hated him enough, as you said, maybe she threw him down the stairs.
No, I don't think so, though. There was that one time they had that altercation.
Oh, please tell us about this.
Well, he kept... Let me rewind. You know how in college, everybody has those dry erase boards on their door.
Right, right, yes.
Well, we had a dry erase board on our door, and he used to keep writing stuff on it. Of course, it was all in French, so I didn't know what it said, but it always upset her.
Like, what kind of stuff did he write?
Oh, honey, I don't speak French, but all I know is there were lots of capital letters and lots of exclamation points, and it used to piss her off something crazy. And she would run upstairs and she would write on his board something else. And then, oh, get this. One time, this was when it started to get ugly. One time, he used a permanent marker. She tried to erase it. She was crying, but she couldn't do it. And all she could do was color the rest of it in with another permanent marker. And then it was a black erased board, and she could only write white out on it. It was not good.
Let me ask you something very serious. Do you still have this board?
Well, I don't know. I think it might still be on the door, because those things, they're bolted on. You can't get those off.
Armed with this information, I went back to Digman Hall to talk to Mr. Robert Scotts. Mr. Scotts, please show me which room was Lynn Nelson's.
Okay, well, I'll point it out right there. See, I'm pointing with my finger.
This one here with the big black board on front of it.
Yep.
Thank you very much, sir.
It's the one right across from the men's restroom with the very high stalls. You know, the walls in between? They're very high.
I don't see how that's...
It's not really relevant, but it's very useful.
Removing the erase board from the wall, I took it to Lieutenant Dick Miami to see if he could uncover the message that Alan Thomas had written on it in permanent marker. Lieutenant Miami, were you able to uncover the message?
I was able to uncover the message.
Okay, what does it say?
I have absolutely no idea. It's in French, and I don't speak a word, except I think I know how to say fart in French.
How?
Fortunately,
I knew someone who did speak French, and I took the message back to Madame Bouret. Madame Bouret, can you translate the permanent marker writing on this dry erase board that we got from Lynn Nelson's door in Digman Hall?
Oui.
Will you please tell me what it says?
Oh, this is terrible. It says, je vais me tuer, blâmer toi, which means I am going to kill myself and blame you.
What? No, okay, that's not... She must have written that. Herself.
I don't think that she wrote it herself, and I don't think that he wrote it.
What?
Because it's bad French, and they were such good students. Je vais me tuer et blâmer toi, je vais me tuer et te blâmer. This is terrible. I don't know if he wrote it or not.
Well, I don't think he did.
Someone might be trying to frame him for his own murder.
Or maybe it was her.
But she would have written it perfectly.
Or maybe she wants you to think it's not her, so she's writing it badly, so that you'll think someone else wrote it to make you think it was him, but did it badly, and so it couldn't be her.
You're making my bonnet hurt, and I don't have an answer for you.
As always, I leave it to you, the listener, to draw your own conclusions. But, come on. Lynn killed him. Thank you for listening to Frank Allen Investigations. My name's Frank Allen.